Friday, January 11th, 2019, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. We are back for another day of talking sports with a dose of common sense, and we are very happy to have you here with us today. Happy Friday to you, and for anyone out there who might be a Green Bay Packers fan, I'm sorry in advance, because today, January 11th, is actually the anniversary of a very dark day in Packer history. Yes, back in 2004, we had the dreaded 4th and 26, trailing the Green Bay Packers by just 3 points in the NFC divisional playoff game. The Philadelphia Eagles faced a 4th and 26 on their final drive. Hey, this game's over. There's no question. This game is over. The Packers are going to move on, except that Donovan McNabb hit Freddie Mitchell for 29 yards. The Eagles would go on to tie the game and then win the game in overtime. Hey, I'm sorry to bring it up, cheeseheads. I really, really am. I don't mean to rain on your Friday. It's just this day in history. That's what happened. And you know, we all have those dark days in our past. We all have those days that we look back and I mean, they're just a little bit painful to remember. Everyone does. My beloved Broncos have all those Super Bowl losses. Everyone has those days. If you don't have them, you haven't been in sports for very long. I mean, even the greats have those bad days. Michael Jordan had those losses to the Detroit Pistons. Tom Brady had his losses to Eli Manning. Well, and then to Nick Foles. And then that whole cheating thing too. Magic Johnson had Larry Bird. Larry Bird had Magic Johnson. Kobe Bryant had Eagle Colorado. Oh! LeBron James had his hairline and whatever his mom's was doing with Delonte West. What I'm saying is we all have things in our past that sometimes make us sad. Hey, if you'd like to contact us, let us know your worst sports memory. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go over to Facebook or Twitter. You can find us over there. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. And it doesn't have to be sports memory related. If you've got a question, a comment, a suggestion, we do get some questions, especially over on Facebook. Make sure that you reach out to us and bring it because we would love to hear what you have to say. Also, be sure you stop by tpublic.com where you can find the latest Daily Dose gear that is out. It's not just t-shirts over at tpublic. They've got a number of Daily Dose items over there. T-shirts, sweatshirts, laptop covers, cell phone covers, a number of things you are going to want to make sure that you check out over at tpublic.com. Hey, today on the show, we do have a few breaking sports news stories to cover, but then we are going to be previewing what is going to be a very interesting weekend in the world of sports. Let you know what might be out there for you to kind of, you know, mark some time off on your schedule and be sure that you are near some sort of device to watch a few of these events that are coming. And then, of course, we will be getting back to our Daily Dose Top 5. Hey, it's been a few weeks, and I know that over those weeks, we put out like, I don't know, 10, 12 Daily Dose Top 5s because we were playing shows from back in the day when we were doing a weekly show and we do a Daily Dose Top 5 every single week. Well, today, a new Daily Dose Top 5 returns and you never know which way the Top 5 is going to go. You know, you always have to tune in on Fridays and find out. Hey, before we get to some breaking news, you know, we did do our Daily Dose College Bowl Game Pick'em this year. And I'm just looking at the final stats. I believe Big Rob won this thing again. He wins it pretty much every year. It's like a tradition here at the Daily Dose. Big Rob just wins the College Bowl Pick'em. Rob, can you confirm that outcome? Reach out to us. Let us know because we need to have you on here pretty soon. Talk about, you know, your defense of your College Bowl game Pick'em. But Big Rob's pretty good at picking games. Need to have him back on and discuss some college football and college basketball and NFL and whatever. Because Big Rob can talk it all. But I think he did win that. We're going to have him on here soon. A couple things coming out in the world of breaking news. One more NFL coaching hire that actually did take place yesterday. Didn't have time to get to, but the New York Jets look like they will be hiring former Miami Dolphins head coach Adam Gase. Now, the Jets are also reportedly looking to try to get a defensive coordinator as well. They are talking to, I guess, interim Cleveland Browns coach Greg Williams and former Denver Broncos head coach Vance Joseph is also being looked at for that defensive coordinator job. Now, I would assume Jets management has to be concerned a little bit about Vance Joseph's ability to count because we saw his Broncos were notorious for having the wrong number of players on the field. I don't know what that was. I have no idea. I don't know if Vance Joseph needs to go back to counting school or what that was, but we saw it a number of times. Now, the Jets reached out to Adam Gase right after he was fired by the Miami Dolphins clear back on December 31st. They've been in contact with him throughout. You know, Adam Gase was only 23 and 25 as head coach in Miami. But in those three seasons, for some reason, he dominated the Jets. The Miami Dolphins won 5 of their 6 games against the Jets with Gase at the helm. You know, I always kind of laugh at these moves, especially when they're within divisions, because I think the rest of the league would probably agree, yeah, Adam Gase, he's not that great. But for whatever reason, he showed really well against the New York Jets, so the Jets actually think he's good. Oh, it's going to be so much fun when they find out that he's not. But hey, as long as you believe it, enjoy. And one more thing coming out in the world of breaking news. The word is out that former NFL quarterback and current minor league baseball player Tim Tebow is now engaged to former Miss Universe Demi Lay Nelpeters. Now, the sound that you might hear today, that is actually the sound of crying from every, I don't know, Christian college girl in the world. And I guess I would assume probably a few priests around the world as well, hearing that news that Tim Tebow is now off the market. Yes, there are going to be a number of people upset to hear that someone has scooped up Mr. Tebow. Hey, coming back, we will be previewing the weekend in sports. Hey, we have got NFL divisional playoff games this week, some very, very interesting ones, and we've actually got a couple of NBA and college basketball games you're going to want to check out as well.
Technology today has never been smarter, but smart only matters when you put it to good use. Let's put smart to work. Search IBM UK to find out more.
Okay, so let's shift over to the weekend sports preview. Try to do this every week. Take a look at some of the upcoming events that are going to be happening this weekend, just to make you aware so that you can block some time out on your schedule and say, hey, I've got to make sure I am near a TV or I am going to hang out with some friends, whatever, at this time, because I know this game is on at this time. You don't want to be stuck somewhere else and go, oh man, I forgot. Now I can't watch that game because I made plans to do something I didn't want to do to begin with. So we just try to help you out, help you plan your weekend a little bit and let you know what the best games are out there for you to tune into. Also, we do pick the games, try to do our best at seeing if we can kind of, you know, prepare for sports gambling, which is coming soon. Remember that all times given our mountain time zone, let's take a look at what is coming this weekend. Hey, if you're looking for something to watch tonight after work, we do actually have a decent college basketball game in the Big Ten as the number 22 Indiana Hoosiers go to College Park to face what should be a very solid Maryland Terrapin team. Now, Indiana head coach Archie Miller, he's got the Hoosiers playing very good defense. And guard Romeo Langford, I know there was a lot to do about where's he going to sign and what's he going to do. They got him in Bloomington, Indiana, and dude is a player. He is worth watching. But do not sleep on Mark Turgeon's Terrapins. Maryland is 13-3. And here are their three losses. Virginia, Purdue, and Seton Hall. Those are probably all going to be tournament teams. And they lost those three games by a combined 11 points. So Maryland is in every single game that they play. Both of these teams probably going to be going to the tournament. So this should be a solid game for your Friday night. I am going to take Maryland to win that game at home. We do also have one decent NBA game tonight. At 8 p.m., the Los Angeles Lakers are holding on to the 8th seed in the Western Conference right now. Now we know LeBron James is still out with that groin strain. Without LeBron, so far, the Lakers have gone 3-4. Like I said, they're holding on to that 8th seed, and guess who's in 9th place and trying to catch them? That's right, the Utah Jazz. The Lakers go to Utah tonight at 8 p.m. Utah seems to be showing some signs. Maybe they have some life. Maybe they're going to figure some things out and start getting better. I know they started off very slow, but now Utah has won 6 of their last 10. So it's not a bad game for a Friday night. Pretty interesting game for early January. I am going to take the Jazz at home. Moving on to Saturday at 12 noon. Hey, we all know the Duke Blue Devils are the most exciting and impressive group of freshmen that we've seen in college hoops for a long time. Duke is now 13-1. They are ranked number 1 in the country. But here is something that you might not have realized. The Duke Blue Devils, just played their first true road game of the year earlier this week when they blew out Wake Forest. So we don't actually know what they're going to do in hostile territory if they are in a close game. They handled Wake. Wake didn't really show up, but every other game they've played has either been at Duke or at a neutral site. Well, on Saturday, we're going to find out how Duke is going to deal with being on the road and possibly in a tight game, because Duke travels to Tallahassee to face the number 13 Florida State Seminoles. Hey, playing on the road in basketball, it is different than any other sport. It is different than football. It is obviously light years different than baseball, different than hockey, because the fans are right on top of you in basketball. A run at home or at a neutral site that maybe is, I don't know, a 6 or 8 point run for your opponent, yeah, that can turn into like a 14 or 15 point run on the road. And whether they admit it or not, officials are absolutely influenced by a loud crowd. We can pretend they're not. We all know they are. There are statistics that show home team usually gets most of the calls. So we want to see, what is Duke going to do in that kind of situation? Hey, Florida State is a solid squad. This could be a very, very good game Saturday at noon. I'll take Duke on the road, but they better be careful going to Florida State. Okay, we do have NFL divisional playoff games this weekend. And you know what? This round, the divisional round, it actually might be my favorite round, because you've kind of gotten rid of some of the wildcard teams that maybe didn't belong, but you do still have a number of games. We've got 4 games this weekend, and they have a chance to all be very, very good games. First game up, Saturday, 2:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, the Indianapolis Colts go to Kansas City to face the top-seeded Chiefs. Now, all season, we've been watching the Kansas City Chiefs putting up these insane offensive numbers. Patrick Mahomes is throwing the ball all over the place, and the Chiefs just go out and hang up a ton of points. We have also seen that the Chiefs' defense struggles to slow anyone down very much. Now, the Colts on the other side have been slowly kind of building momentum, and I think this is an extremely dangerous game for the Chiefs. Do you realize, all season, the Kansas City Chiefs have beaten exactly 2 playoff teams? They beat the Ravens early. They beat the Chargers early. Those are the only playoff teams they have beaten. Any other teams that made the playoffs beat the Chiefs. And we know the struggles that Andy Reid has had in the postseason. Hey, if the Chiefs can't run the ball in this game, I think the Indianapolis Colts are going to be right there. I think this is a very, very dangerous game for the Chiefs. I'm going to pick the Chiefs at home, but I don't feel very strongly about it. I could easily see Indianapolis stealing one here. That is at 2:30. Saturday night at 6 p.m., we get the NFC divisional game as the Dallas Cowboys go to Los Angeles to face the Rams in what I would think would be a very pro-Cowboys crowd. We know out in L.A., L.A. fans aren't exactly showing up to the games. Whoever the visiting team is bringing more fans than the home team. And the Rams have stumbled a little down the stretch. They lost 2 of their final 4 games. They have been battling some injuries. And I want to see what Los Angeles looks like when they have people back and they actually look a little more healthy. Meanwhile, the Dallas Cowboys have won 7 of their final 8 games. And running back Ezekiel Elliott, he has been getting 20 carries per game in those wins. And I think that's key, because we know Dallas Cowboys don't always like to run the ball. When they do, forget the yardage. And Ezekiel Elliott has been putting up good yardage, but forget the yardage. Keep running the ball and keep feeding Zeke, and we see the Cowboys have success. But I just think that in this game, Dallas Cowboys head coach Jason Garrett, I feel like he's going to be cooking up some passing schemes. Hey, we're going to outsmart everybody. Dak Prescott is going to throw it 55 times and no one's even going to see it coming. Yeah, good luck with that. Because Rams defensive coordinator Wade Phillips, he has some blitz packages, especially for younger quarterbacks, that can take them out of their comfort zone real, real quick. Dallas had better run the football, or this game could actually get ugly. I'm going to take the Rams at home in that game. At 8 p.m., we have an interesting college basketball game that might be a little bit under the radar, but the Gonzaga Bulldogs are absolutely loaded this year, and we know that they play in that soft West Coast Conference, so they don't get very many tests. Once their introductory out-of-conference games are over, we know they just fly through their conference. But they actually are going to get a little bit of a test on Saturday night, 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, when they go to San Francisco to play the USF Dons. Now, we talked about San Francisco a few weeks ago as a team that could sneak under the radar and maybe even be a tournament team. And they're going to be really fun to watch this year. San Francisco can really play some defense. I think the key for Gonzaga, can they get good production from their guards? If it's inconsistent, Gonzaga could be in a little bit of trouble. If they get good play, they are as good as anyone in the country. They can play with anyone. Should be a very interesting game. Gonzaga at San Francisco on Saturday night. I will take Gonzaga to get a tough win on the road. Moving on to Sunday. You know, if there is a game this weekend that is an easy pick, at least for me, it is the Sunday morning AFC divisional playoff with the Los Angeles Chargers going to New England to face the Patriots. Now, the Patriots are the number two seed in the AFC. But honestly, it is only because they play in the AFC East, which year after year after year is one of the worst divisions in pro football. The Los Angeles Chargers are better nearly everywhere on the field than New England. They have better receivers. They have better tight ends. They have better defense. They have better pass rush. This game looks like an absolute cinch for the Chargers. There are just two areas that I think New England is a little bit better in. They are better with the quarterback and Tom Brady over Phillip Rivers, and they have a better head coach. Unfortunately for the Chargers, those are two really, really important components. Add into the equation the fact that the Chargers are, I don't know, this weird snake bit franchise. Every time they take a step forward, they take 14 steps backward. And everything always breaks in favor of the Patriots. I don't know why it is. It's going to come to an end. I think it is going to come to an end soon. I just don't think it's going to come to an end this weekend. I will take the Patriots at home. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles somehow survived last week against the Chicago Bears when the Bears kicker managed to hit not one goalpost on his game-winning attempt. He hit two. To be fair, they say that the kick was partially blocked, but on Sunday at 2:30, the Philadelphia Eagles move on to face what has looked like the best team in the NFL, the New Orleans Saints, in the NFC divisional playoff game. But you know, the Eagles seem to be finding their form from a year ago when they did this kind of same thing under backup quarterback Nick Foles. The Saints are insanely tough at home. And in fact, they are favored in this game by 8 points. I don't know. I think 8 points is a little bit too much here. I think the Eagles are going to slow down the Saints offense. They only have one true wide receiver. They've got Michael Thomas. Outside of that, they're looking at dumping things down to running backs and see if they can find someone to play tight end. So this may be a little bit of a low-scoring game. And in fact, I'm just going to call it. I'm going to pick the Philadelphia Eagles to pull the upset here. But Eagles versus Saints, 2:30 p.m. on Sunday afternoon, should be a lot of fun. Finishing off the weekend, we have two of the hottest teams in the NBA squaring off. Hey, I can't believe I'm saying this. I really can't. But somehow, the Denver Nuggets are currently the top team in the Western Conference. Yes, I know. I expect it to come crashing down at any second, but I'm going to enjoy it while I can. Do you know how many years I've cheered for the Denver Nuggets and they've been horrible? They're in first place. Oh, you better believe I'm going to revel in it at least a little bit. On Sunday night at 6 p.m., the Portland Trailblazers come to Denver, and hey, they've won 3 games in a row. They are currently sitting as the 5 seed in the West, number 1 versus number 5 in the Western Conference. Hey, there's no Sunday night football anymore. Might as well keep an eye on this. I am going to take the Nuggets to win at home. So there's your weekend preview. Number of things to watch. You might want to make sure you pencil a few things on your schedule. Hey, coming back, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, we saw a bit of an upset on Monday night when the Clemson Tigers didn't just beat the Alabama Crimson Tide in the College Football National Championship. Hey, they handled them. I mean, the game wasn't really ever in doubt. Clemson took control of that game from the beginning and ended up winning the game. But you know, it wasn't the first time that we have been surprised when we have watched the College Football National Championship. Now, as we do every Friday, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Like I said, on Monday night, the Clemson Tigers surprised, I wouldn't say everyone, but they surprised at least a few people when they beat the Alabama Crimson Tide and won the College Football Playoff National Championship. Now, going into the game, hey, Alabama looked really tough. They looked like they might be, just maybe, a little bit unbeatable. We know their defense is always going to be great. We know their defensive front is always going to attack your passer. But this season, it wasn't just defense. We saw the season that Tua Tagovailoa was having at quarterback. The Alabama offense was shredding opponents as well. It wasn't just defense and run game. That's what we're so used to. But that wasn't the case this year. And we looked at the Alabama-Clemson National Championship game and said, hey, it's going to take a special night to knock them off. Alabama was favored that game on Monday by 5.5 points. And actually, Clemson made it look pretty easy. They beat them 44-16 to win the title. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, that just proves Clemson is just the better team every single night. No, I don't know. If these two teams play 10 times, does Clemson win all 10? No, I don't think they do. I think it'd probably be 5-5, 6-4, something like that. But on the night that it counted, the Clemson Tigers came up with the win. And you know, we didn't always have these championship games where we had 1 versus 2. That started to come around in the late 90s. But since we have been playing championship games where the number one team faces the number two team in a college football bowl game, we have seen some teams going into those games that look absolutely unbeatable. There's no way they're going to lose. But in one game, anything can happen. And we saw that with these five teams. Today, our Daily Dose counts down the top five college football teams that couldn't be beat. Or at least that's what we thought. Starting off at number five. Hey, and it was just 2 years ago. We saw this exact same matchup. The Alabama Crimson Tide were 13-0. They had Jalen Hurts at quarterback, and he had some serious weapons to throw to. He had Calvin Ridley. He had OJ Howard. And the defense was ranked first in the nation. They were giving up just 11 points a game. They would be seeing a familiar foe because they would be playing Deshaun Watson and the Clemson Tigers, who had given them a much better game than we all thought they would in the previous championship game. Remember, in 2016, we saw Clemson play Alabama closer than anyone expected. They couldn't beat them, but they played them close. Alabama ended up winning the game 45-40. They had to actually work for it, though. So Alabama wasn't going to sleep on Clemson this year. And in fact, Bama jumped on Clemson early. They had a 17-7 lead in the third quarter, and we thought it was over. Hey, Bama's unbeatable. And then Deshaun Watson started to warm up. He started to find his rhythm. He threw 3 touchdowns, and Clemson came back and beat Alabama 35-31 in a game they were a 6.5-point underdog. You know, I do think this game was the one reason we thought this week Clemson has a chance, because we've seen them play them so close before. I think they have at least a chance because they always seem to play Alabama tough. These two teams have now played for the title 3 times in the past 5 seasons, and Clemson has won 2 of them. But in 2017, we all thought Alabama was unbeatable. Didn't turn out that way. Moving on to number 4. You know, it might sound crazy now. Back in 2006, we looked at Ohio State and said, hey, Ohio State is just too good for anyone in the country. They're certainly too good for a team from the SEC to beat them. I know it's kind of funny now to think back, but that's what everyone thought then. The Ohio State Buckeyes had plowed through their regular season. They had a 12-0 record. They had beaten 4 top 25 teams along the way. Quarterback Troy Smith had been named the Heisman Trophy winner, and Ohio State was going to be a heavy favorite over whoever they played in their bowl game. We all thought it was going to be number 2 USC. But then Southern Cal lost to UCLA in the final week of the regular season. Michigan was number 3, but Ohio State had beaten them 42-39. And remember, at that time, the Big Ten didn't play a conference championship. Meanwhile, the Florida Gators beat Arkansas in the SEC championship, so the pollsters jumped Florida up to the number 2 spot. Now, a lot of people weren't happy about it. And Florida was actually a 7-point underdog going into the game, and it looked like it wasn't going to go well for the Gators. On the opening kickoff, Ohio State wide receiver Ted Ginn took it back 93 yards for a touchdown, and everybody started to laugh. Hey, Florida doesn't belong in this game. Yeah, and then the Gators rolled off 41 points. They pounded Ohio State 41-14. Urban Meyer at Florida beat the team he would eventually coach. And hey, this game And this win would be the first for the SEC conference in a string of 7 titles in a row. The 2006 Ohio State Buckeyes, we thought they were unbeatable. Yeah, it turned out they were very beatable. They come in at number 4. Moving on to number 3. This team was the national champions in 2003 and then again in 2004. And when they won it in 2005, they were going to be a modern day dynasty because the USC Trojans were absolutely rolling in 2005. They had won 34 games in a row with quarterback Matt Leinart and running back Reggie Bush. And USC had been ranked number 1 since the preseason going back 2 years. And they would be facing the number 2 team, the Texas Longhorns. Now, before the game, many sports publications, many sports networks were saying the 2005 USC team was probably the greatest college football team of all time. Turns out, they weren't even the best college football team of 2005. USC faced Texas in that 2006 Rose Bowl. They entered the game as a touchdown favorite. And then we saw what I would consider to be one of the best college football games that I've ever watched. It was back and forth all night. USC finally looked like they were in control in the fourth quarter when they took a 38-26 lead, just a little over 6 minutes to play. Yeah, but Texas quarterback Vince Young had other ideas. He had entered a zone that very few players can ever find. Vince Young just looked like he was playing a game, like a video game, on a different speed than everyone else. With less than 20 seconds, down 38-34, Vince Young faced a 4th-and-5 from the USC 9-yard line. Here is a clip of that play from ABC.
4th-and-5, the national championship on the line right here. He's going for the corner. He's got it. Vince Young scores.
The Texas Longhorns beat what we thought might be the greatest team of all time, at least according to some people, 41-38 in an absolutely unforgettable game. The 2005 USC Trojans come in at number 3. Moving on to number 2. This team was the defending national champions. And while they did have one loss on the season, the 2000 Florida State Seminoles were rolling through their season. They were beating opponents by an average score of 44-9. The only loss they had was to number 7 Miami, but Florida State was stacked. Quarterback Chris Winkie had won the Heisman Trophy. He had led the nation in passing yards with over 4,500 yards, and he had some talent around him. Running back Travis Minor, wide receivers Anquan Boldin and Snoop Minnis. Florida State was scoring some points. They were going to go to the Orange Bowl, and they were going to face the Oklahoma Sooners and some second-year head coach by the name of Bob Stoops. Now, Stoops had put together a pretty decent defense with his brother Mark, but they weren't going to be any match for the Florida State Seminoles. Florida State entered the 2000 Orange Bowl favored by 11 points. Yeah, the Seminoles couldn't even score 11 points all night. In fact, the only points they scored all night were in the fourth quarter on a safety. The Oklahoma defense held Florida State to 27 rushing yards. They forced 3 turnovers, and Oklahoma's offense, behind quarterback Josh Heupel, I mean, they didn't do much, but they didn't need to do much. The Oklahoma Sooners beat unbeatable Florida State 13-2. No, it wasn't baseball. It was football. The 2000 Florida State Seminoles come in at number 2. But if there was ever a sure thing in a national championship game, it had to be our number 1 entry. They had won the title in 2001. And while they had lost a few players from that team, the 2002 Miami Hurricanes were absolutely stacked with talent. You'll see what I mean. Quarterback Ken Dorsey, running back Willis McGahee, running back Frank Gore, running back Jarrett Payton, wide receiver Andre Johnson, wide receiver Roscoe Parrish, tight end Kellen Winslow, defensive tackle Vince Wilfork, linebacker Jonathan Vilma, linebacker DJ Williams, safety Antrell Roll, safety Sean Taylor. Seriously? That's not a college football team. That's a pro football team. The Hurricanes went 12-0. They were riding a 34-game winning streak that dated back to 2000. They would be facing the Craig Krenzel-led Ohio State Buckeyes. I mean, they were also 12-0, but there was no way they were going to hang with the U. Miami was favored by 11.5 points in the 2003 Fiesta Bowl, and this was going to be a blowout. This game wasn't even going to be worth watching. But early in the third quarter, it was actually Ohio State leading 17-7. You knew the Miami run was coming though, right? And it did. Sure enough, Miami scores 10 points, ties the game as regulation expires, and we headed to overtime. In the first overtime, Miami scored a touchdown, and the Buckeyes had to match it or the game would be over. On 4th and 3 from the Miami 5-yard line, Craig Krenzel threw a pass to the end zone to wide receiver Chris Gamble. The ball fell to the ground incomplete, and Miami fans rushed the field, but then a late flag was thrown against Miami for pass interference. Now, we can debate the flag, and obviously there's been a ton of debate about the flag, but Ohio State got a new set of downs. They would score two plays later. The game went to a second overtime. Ohio State scored another touchdown, and then Miami couldn't match the touchdown. The unbeatable Miami Hurricanes had somehow been beaten. Hey, Alabama wasn't quite as big of a favorite as the teams on this list, but they were a big favorite. And as we saw on Monday night, and as we see in these five examples, this is why we love sports. Because on any given day, anything can happen. Hey, I know when I go to the movies, I know the hero is eventually going to win out. Sports, though, they're completely unpredictable. And that is what makes them so amazing. Hey, it is Friday, and we have made it through another week. Have to say thank you all for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you so much for reaching out. Thank you so much for sharing the show. It is all very appreciated. Don't forget to stop by tpublic.com and pick up some of that Daily Dose gear. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all on Monday. Have a great weekend.